Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're in Luke chapter 15 now, and we'll be looking at the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And we're looking about how God values people and wants them to come back to himself. So before we do that, get your Bibles, pens and notebooks, and we'll open in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're the glorious God. You are the God that seeks and saves the lost. And that Jesus came to this earth to seek and save the lost and to get us back to him, to redeem us from our sin. So now we ask that as we dive into your word in Luke chapter 15, you will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to behold wonders from your word and to glorify your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke 15 and 1 to 10. Luke chapter 15, 1 to 10, if you've got your Bibles there. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, that's to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So God and our Heavenly Father celebrates when his children come back to him. Now, the basic idea of this passage is that if you are alienated from God, and if you're alienated from the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, it's safe to return to your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father wants you back home, even if you are lost, even if you are astray, even if you are broken, even if you have sinned. Turn around and come back to God, and we'll see a lot more about that in the parable of the prodigal son later on. But God wants the lost people to come home. He wants the lost coin to be found, the lost sheep to be found by the shepherd, who will go out and seek and save the lost, which was the purpose that Jesus came. He said to his disciples, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." It's the healthy have no need of a physician, but it is the sinful and the broken and the sick who need a physician, and Jesus is our divine physician. So now is the age of mercy. Now is the age you can come back to God. But later on, Jesus will return, and he won't be seeking and saving the lost when he returns. He will be judging the living and the dead. And you don't want to be the one who was judged. You don't want to be standing before the great white throne. You don't want to be standing before Jesus, who has given judgment over all things, in a state of being lost. If you sense that you're lost, if you sense you're away from God, it's time to turn back. Even if you're rich, even if you're wealthy, even if you're powerful, if you know that your soul has been lost, turn back to God right now, because it's a terrible thing to be lost. That little sheep, just imagine the sheep, it was with its 99 friends, was wandering out there in the countryside, and it said, "Oh, this is attractive, I'll go here, I'll go there." And then suddenly, it's a lost sheep. It's going bah, bah. It's going off all around the countryside. It's lost. It's in danger of being eaten by wolves. It's in danger of falling off a cliff. If it's in danger of getting into the bog or the swamp and drowning, this little sheep is in imminent danger of all the things that are out there, outside the sheepfold and outside of the open territory where it's safe for the sheep to graze. There's unsafe places in the world, and that's where the lost people end up. It says, the habitations of darkness are the places of cruelty, one of the prophets. If you get out into the habitations of darkness, if you get away from God, you're getting away from the light, you're getting out into that darkness, it gets more and more dark, and soon the world starts turning on you. The drug dealer starts turning on you. The person who's you thought was your friend starts turning on you. You get betrayed, you get hurt, you get beaten up. The person that was buying you drinks is now punching you in the face. The world turns nasty very fast. The further you get away from God, the nastier and more treacherous the world becomes, until you feel that you're trapped. You're trapped in the thorn bush. You're taken away from the world, and the shepherd has to come looking after you. Of course, the ultimate shepherd is the good shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, who lays down his life for the sheep, who died on the cross for you and for your sins. And Jesus Christ is looking out for you. But it might be your mother is praying for you, your pastor is praying for you, your friends that you went to church with are praying for you. They're looking for you, but they don't know where to find you. And they want to bring you back to the fold. They want to bring you back to Jesus Christ. And it's only you that can make the decision to go back to God. Only you can say, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of the habitations of darkness. I've had enough being around dangerous and cruel people. I've had enough of being hurt and betrayed. I need to get back to the people of God, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. I need to get back to the light and come out of the darkness. And you think, but God will scold me. God will be angry at me. God will hurt me and punish me because I have done bad things. I have done naughty things. I have done terrible things while I was lost. And God doesn't really memorize that at all. He doesn't care. When the shepherd finds the sheep, he doesn't really care what the sheep did when it was lost. He just puts the sheep on his shoulders and says, you're coming back home with me. God doesn't really care too much about what you did while you were lost, while you were wandering, while you were astray. He says, at last my sheep is found. At last he's turned his heart or her heart back to the gospel. At last. And God does not condemn you. God is not a God who scolds people. It says in James chapter 1, that anyone let's ask for wisdom, let him ask of God who will give wisdom without reproach. God is not a God who reproaches people. God is not a God who scolds people. God is not a God who wants to hurt you, humiliate you, or make you pay for your sins. He just wants you back home. Just as the prodigal son went back to the father, Father says, forget about that. You're home. We're going to celebrate the fact that you're home. He didn't even get to finish his speech. And the father says, it is so good to have you back home. God wants you in heaven. God wants you back home. He doesn't want you out there in the world, wasting your life, destroying your life in all kinds of sin and pleasure. It is safe to go back home to God. It is safe to go back home to Jesus. Now, who was Jesus telling this parable to? He was telling it to the Pharisees and the scribes, because Jesus was spending time with these sinners. He was spending time with the tax collectors. Why? Why was he doing that? Why was he engaging in this unusual behavior of eating with sinners and having a party with them? Because the sinners needed to get close to God. They weren't going to walk up to God in their own, and Jesus was the God in human flesh. God needed to come to the sinners. For it is not the righteous who need a physician, but the sick. So Jesus was the physician, and he was sitting down with the sinners, with those people seeking God, and he was helping them to take the first few steps back to the Heavenly Father, their few steps back to heaven, out of the hell that they were living in. Because being a sinner is not a happy state. It eventually gets really, really dysfunctional. It begins to hurt. The rejection hurts. The arguments hurt. The squabbles and the disagreements within the family hurt. Living in sin eventually becomes a punitive state, a state which is not a happy state or a good state, but people are just stuck there. It's the only world they know. It's the only way of acting, reacting, and living that they know. And they have no idea how to get back on the path to righteousness. And the scribes and the Pharisees are no help. These people have had their lives together forever and ever. They've never fallen apart. They've never fallen off the wagon. They've never gone into the places that the sinners have gone to. And they have no idea how to help these people find their way back to God. And they don't even want them to, because they have their little social club. But the scribes and the Pharisees might reject you, but God accepts you as you are and will take you back into heaven and into his fold. Of course, you can't stay sinning. You need to repent. You need to get rid of your unrighteous behavior. You need to stop being lost and start being found, because the state of being lost is a very bad state to be in, and you don't want to be there. You don't want to be like the little sheep on the mountainside that is afraid of the wolf, that's afraid of the eagle, that's afraid of all the things that might kill it, the lion and all the bear and all those things who want to eat the sheep. The sheep needs to get back home. The sheep needs to stop being lost. And being lost is terrifying, because Jesus speaks of people quite frankly. He talks of them as perishing. In John 3:16, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, people are perishing apart from God. The lost people are perishing. They're lost. They're in the darkness. They're in the habitations of cruelty. They're heading their way to eternal damnation. They're heading their way to hell. And Jesus came to this planet. He came to this earth as in the form of a servant, to go to the cross, to meet people, to heal people, to get the demons out of people, and to get them saved and back on the right track. That's Jesus' mission. He wasn't here to judge people. He didn't come to judge. He came to save, to seek and save the lost. When he comes back, yes, he'll come to judge then. But now he is here in the through the Holy Spirit and through his church and through pastors and evangelists. He's here to seek and save the lost. And he wants you back in the kingdom of God. He wants you to repent of your sins. He wants you to come back to God and say, God, help me. I'm lost. I'm astray. I'm over here. And look at the lost coin. Here's this lost coin. It's been dropped. It's bounced around. It slid under the bed or under the cupboard. And this lady, this woman, she gets her broom. She sweeps under the house. She looks here. She looks there. Ah, there is this coin. The coin is valuable, but it's in the wrong place. It's got itself into that little corner over there. And you are valuable, no matter who you are. Whether you're a man or a woman or a child, you are valuable to God. But it's got itself into the wrong place. It's got itself into a corner where it's dark, where it's full of dust, where it's full of cockroaches and spiders. The coin has bounced along, and now it's in a place where it's isolated from its companions, the nine other coins. The lady can't use it anymore. It's useless because it can't be spent because it's lost. And she wants her 10 coins. And as some interpretations of this says, this is her dowry money. This is what she was given as a bride. She keeps these 10 coins, and they're very precious to her. And one of her dowry coins, one of the coins that were given to her as a bride, is bounced off and away. And now she searches the house diligently for it. Now, I'm a bit of an absent-minded professor, and I am always losing things. And so I put things in unusual places, and then I need to find them. Now, recently, my wife had some identity documents from her home country, the Philippines, and we had lost them. Her social security document, her passport document, a thing called Pagi, big document. All these documents were lost, and we had searched the house up and down, all around, to try and find these identity documents. Then one day I had lost something, and I said, it might be in that filing cabinet over there. And I went looking for it, and in that filing cabinet was a plastic bag. And I opened the plastic bag looking for the thing I was looking for, and there was my wife's identity documents, her social security card, her pagibig, her old passport and things like that from the Philippines. And we rejoiced because we'd been looking for these documents for 3 years since we moved into this house. We had no idea where they were gone. And my wife was due to go back to the Philippines and sort out all the things that related to these lost documents. So we rejoiced, and a week later she took off with them back to the Philippines, sorted out her retirement, and we were very, very glad because the thing that had been lost was now found, and we rejoiced. And so that's the coin. It's something that's precious. It's something that's lost. It was something that the lady didn't know where it was. She was perplexed. She was distressed. And the angels rejoice when one sinner, one coin, one person, or one identity document that was lost is found. And they say, this is terrific. God is worried about the individual, the one coin, the one sheep. And there's a song here in America called Reckless Love, where God pursues the one and leaves the 99 in the open field. God is not reckless and dangerous, but it's an analogy that God is ready to go out and pursue the one sheep, the one coin, the one person. God is after you. He is after your soul. Your soul is precious to God, and he doesn't want it lost. It is very valuable. As someone has said, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, how precious the soul must be if both God and the devil are after it. Think of that. How precious the soul of men and women must be if both God and the devil are after them. We know about these deals with the devil, where someone sells their soul to the devil and suddenly they become rich or beautiful or attractive, and they've lost their soul, they've given it over to the devil, and suddenly everything seems to go right, but in the end it goes wrong, and they end up lonely, or they die of a drug addiction, or this happens or that happens. So you don't want to lose your soul, you don't want to sell it to the devil. The devil wants your soul, and God wants your soul, and God wants you back in his fold. He wants you, if you're the lost sheep, if you've gone astray, God wants you back, and when you come back, God's going to be very happy about it. He's going to rejoice. In fact, there's joy in heaven. So God rejoices in the presence of his angels. And so God's on his throne. He says, oh, this person over here, Sam or Bill or Mary or whoever, they've repented. They've turned back. They've come to their senses, and they are no longer living in sin. They've prayed the prayer. They've come to Jesus. They've consecrated their life to God, and they've decided they're not going to live that way anymore. The shepherd has found that which was lost, and the lost person is now found. Now, I have a friend back in California who works with homeless people, and she's very, very diligent about finding these homeless people on the street and helping them to get back into life and get back into housing, and, of course, to get back to God. And sometimes it takes her 2 or 3 years before they will trust her enough to come off the street, to come off that unhealthy lifestyle, to come off the drugs, to come off the drinking. And the people try and try again. And they go into rehab, and they go into rehab, and the booze gets them again. But she goes out there, and she is persistent. She is a good shepherd of the sheep. She wants to seek and save the lost. She wants to find those who are beaten up by life, who have been destroyed by life, and she wants the lost to be found. And when she finally gets someone who agrees to go into rehab and stays in rehab, or you get someone who comes off the street and stays off the street, she rejoices and all her helpers rejoice with her, because that which is lost has now been found. And God is like that. God is like Lila. It's Lila Amura Garcia, that's her name. God is like Lila, who is seeking the lost, who seeks the broken people to bring them back to him. I was a very, very lonely person. I was someone that was not socially skilled. I was on the edge of society. I was not a person that people respected. I was a very different personality, and God sought me and found me and brought me into his kingdom. And many of you will have a similar story of how God pursues you with his love. God loves you. God seeks you as an individual. Remember in this parable, there's one coin that is sought after, one sheep that is sought after, while the 99 stay in the open country. Or there's 9 coins that are sitting nicely there on the table or in the box or wherever the lady put the coin. But one is lost, and that one is lost causes great anxiety. And the people who are seeking have anxiety. They have stress. They get diligent. They go out and seek all around where the country, where that little sheep is. They're listening, they're looking, they're saying, where is my sheep? Where has it gone? And they are distressed. and they are anxious and they are looking this way and that until the sheep is found. And same with the lady sweeping the house. She is distressed. She is anxious. She is putting work in to find that. So God is actively seeking after you. And the pastors, if you're a pastor, you should actively seek after the lost in your community. Don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees sitting off there to one side saying, oh, well, that person's no good. We won't bother about them. It is not your judgment as to whether someone is good or not good, because God does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance and be saved. And it's the Apostle Peter who says that, for it is not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth so as to be saved. And if you're a mature Christian and if you have the knowledge of the truth, you're to go out there to seek and to save the lost. You're to take Christ's cross on your shoulders and go out there and seek and save the lost, to teach the truth to them and bring them back into the fold. You might have a child. You might have a brother. You might have a sister. You might have someone in your family or friendship who seems to have got terribly, terribly lost. They're all mixed up. The world's all over them and they're in the world. And they need to be brought out of the world. Well, how can you do that? How can you seek and save the lost? Well, I think it begins in prayer. We really need to pray for the lost. Paul would say in the Epistle to Romans, he says, my heart's desire and prayer for the Jews is that they be saved. So he was praying for the Jews that were lost, the Jews that had rejected Christ, the Jews that persecuted him. He was praying that they would be saved. And you are to pray for your relatives to be saved, for your wife or husband to be saved, for your children to be saved, for the people around you that you know, your friends at work. Pray that they are saved and pray and bring their name before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a Bible study back in Australia, and it was during the 1990s. It was with university students, and they would bring their friends before the Lord, and we would write their names in a prayer book, and we would pray for them every week after the Bible study. And within 6 weeks, each of those people got saved. So we call that Bible study book, the Book of Life. We pray for the people by name, say, Lord Jesus Christ, you have shed your blood for my friend, my children, my husband, my wife, my father, my mother, whoever. You have shed your blood for them. And now on the basis of your blood and your cross, I am claiming them for salvation. And then you pray, that they will be surrounded by Christians. Pray that they'll be surrounded by people who preach a pure gospel. Pray that they will lose any desire for the world or the things of the world. Pray that all habits and evil things that are keeping them trapped will be broken in Jesus' name. Pray that they will be found by a good pastor. They'll be found by a good Bible study leader. They'll be found by a good friend who can take them back and lead them to Jesus and lead them to heaven. And that God will put them on the hearts of those who are saved. Because a lot of people aren't saved because no one cares about them. Those people out there on Redondo Pier who are the people that are homeless and living under the bridges, and no one cares about them except Lila. She cares about them. She prays for them. She's determined. She writes down their name day after day, year after year, trying to bring them back into the fold of God. And God is like that. God wants to seek and save the lost. He's going to put people on your heart. And when God puts someone on your heart to pray for them, that they may come into the kingdom of God. Do not give up on them. You might say, but they're too far gone. They're doing heroin. They're doing drugs. They're doing crime. They're in jail. They've done this and that. Sometimes jail can help people to wake up. But other times they just get harder and harder. But pray their hearts are not hardened. Pray that their hearts are softened. Pray that the veil is removed from their eyes. Pray that they are no longer held under the sway or grip of the devil. Say that the deceptions of the devil, the lies of the devil, will not lodge in their hearts and minds, but the truth will find a foothold within them. Pray that the truth will find a foothold in them. They'll be there, they'll start to glimpse the truth of Jesus. They'll start to glimpse the truth of God. That they will decide it's better back in the Father's house. They'll say, why am I doing this? Why am I like this? The Christians have it better. I will go and become a Christian. I will turn back to my Father's house. And if you're listening to this broadcast today and you say, I'm lost. I'm just like a sheep that's gone astray. Turn me back to the house of God. Show me the way to believe. Bring me out of my darkness and my unbelief and my sinful lifestyle and show me how to become a Christian. You cry out to God right now. You say, Lord Jesus Christ, I am lost. I come to you for salvation. Just cry that out. Lord Jesus Christ, I am lost. I come to you for salvation. I repent of my sins. I need to be born again. I need to become a Christian. Lord Jesus Christ, I am lost. I need to be found. I repent of my sins. I need your salvation. Help me to be born again. Cry out to God, things like that, with your whole heart, and say to God that you want to be found by God. You want to be back in his house. You don't want to be that little sheep that's out there on the hillside crying and afraid of the wolves and the lions and the cobras and all the things out there. You want to be safe back in the fold in the open country with the shepherd taking care of you and leading you to quiet waters, leading you to good pastures, taking care of your every need. You want to be with that shepherd. You want to be with someone like that and know that you're cared for. Or if you're the coin that's been hidden under there, it's got stuck under the mat, it's got here, and you're there and you're covered in cobwebs and dust and insects. You want to be found and you want to be back, precious, appreciated again. Turn back to God. You don't need the world. You don't need the flesh. You don't need the devil. You don't need those bad habits. You don't need the anger and the rejection that's keeping you a prisoner. You need Jesus. And Jesus wants you back. He's not going to condemn you. Jesus was sitting there with the sinners, eating with them, so they would come back into the fold. It's the scribes and the Pharisees who are full of rejection. Don't worry about them. God wants you back home in his household, enjoying his family, enjoying the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. And God wants you to come back, to get baptized, to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to get back in fellowship with the church, to get back to reading the Bible, and to come to the true knowledge of God, to come to the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that you might be saved. So don't stay lost. Get found. Turn your heart and say, God, I want to be found. I don't want to be lost anymore. I want to be your child, and I want to be in your house. So this is John Edmiston, signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.